They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
WEBR-FM Fairfax.
A service of Fairfax Public Access and Cox Communications.
94.5 Cable FM.
Cox Cable Channel 37.
Comcast Cable Channel 4.4.
And broadcasted to the world in real audio at FCAC.org.
WEBR-FM Fairfax.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax, Virginia. You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and on the Commons today we're going to talk very briefly to my friend Jan Bergman. Jan is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida, and Jan is probably one of the hardest working activist advocates I've ever met in my life, and Jan's got some big news to share with us. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off right now.
My head is still on, but otherwise it's busy here in Florida because our conference creates a lot of waves, and we're looking forward to have a good program.
Our conference?
We will have a big national conference on homeowners and condo owners association issues here on February 1 and 2 in Broward County in Fort Lauderdale. And we have a very interesting national panel that will talk about the issues, and it will be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to it, and so do a lot of other people.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Tell it, why did you do this, Jan? What's what do you hope to accomplish with this conference?
Well, I honestly feel that it is really time for us owners to do something like this, because so far we have always the industry, the service providers doing the talking, setting up the conferences, and more or less telling us, the owners, what to do, how to do it, how to live our lives in these associations, and they're more or less, they were in charge of our welfare, the welfare of our families, and the financial welfare, meaning the contents of our wallets. And I think that has to change. We owners have to take our own fate in our own hands, and we have to call the shots and say what we want and not vice versa.
You must have been hearing from a lot of, I mean, I know you hear from a lot of people. What typically is it that people are having problems with that you hear about?
Well, I think the biggest problem we always see is that the statutes and the rules are kind of vague, in my opinion, written so on purpose by the attorneys who wrote them, because it's a bigger money maker if the statutes are vague and not very clear. And then the total lack of enforcement, because you always hear from the people who violate the rules, hey, you don't like it, sue me. You don't have the money anyway to sue me. You know, and that is wrong. You know, if justice and right is up for sale, and it depends how much money you have in your pocket to be right or wrong, that's absolutely wrong, and it paints a real bad picture of our society.
So when you say enforcement, you're not talking about the associations enforcing the covenants, because we hear so many problems about that. That seems to cause more problems than it's apparently designed to solve. You're talking about enforcing against the association and management and the people who have been given all these powers, correct?
Correct. Well, I'm actually talking about enforcing against everybody. You know, honestly, I don't feel like an association should spend $100,000 against a guy who is on purpose violating the rules of the community. You know, it has to go both ways, but mostly it goes, since the associations have the money to pursue the issue, they have a deep pocket through association dues, it is mostly association camp managers and the attorneys even who violate the rule, knowing that the person whose rights are being violated don't have the finances to fight for their rights. And that is what they rely on, and that is why you hear board members, attorneys, and CAMs telling owners, hey, what do you want? You don't have the money to sue me in the first place.
So you want some kind of state adult supervision by the state to ensure that the homeowners are not getting gypped.
Correct, because don't forget, this there are millions and millions of people living here in Florida in associations. We have an estimated 1.3 million condo units here. We have an estimated 2.2 million homes in associations. Now, multiply with the people who live in these homes and units, you have 6, 7 million people here in Florida living in associations, minimum. That's a low estimate. And these people have a problem enforcing their rights. We always hear, oh, you know, you knew what you gotten into because you signed the contract. Well, honestly, there are more violations from the people who are supposed to be in charge of the contract, meaning the boards, CAMs, and attorneys, than there are from the people who live there.
And do you think that with this conference that you're going to be able to highlight this problem and see if we can get some kind of remedy for it?
Well, I think this conference will help to understand everybody what this is all about, because, see, don't forget, most people have, including our legislators, have so far only heard the propaganda of the people who want to make money out of this association. Because they're the ones who are running around in Tallahassee telling the legislators, oh, so everybody in this association is real happy. They're just a few disgruntled guys. You know, everybody knows it's not true. It's plain baloney. Sorry about the word, but that's what it is. And they should know better, and they know better, but, you know, that's a good way to sell it. Because, see, the CAI, for example, it's a plain trade organization supposed to promote the interests of their members. The members are attorneys and CAM managers mainly, and, you know, they have totally different interests than the owners.
So basically what you're saying is that the conference is going to be educational.
Yes.
And it's going to be a platform where the homeowners can discuss the issues instead of having the issues rammed down their throats, correct?
Actually, we have a lot of very good speakers. We have a long, long good list of good speakers, including you. We feel it is for the audience on Saturday afternoon important to listen, because they can learn a lot, they can see a lot. We do have a legislative panel of legislators who are interested in these issues in the first place. We will have as well attorneys who are looking at it from the side of the owners. You know, normally we always hear from the attorneys who make money out of association boards, who they try to convince that lawsuits are necessary. We finally need our voice, because we are the big group. We are the majority. You know, compared to all these service providers who make money, they most likely would all fit into one association here in Florida. And
yeah, but they don't live in an association yet.
Most of them will tell you, I would never ever move into one of these associations. And then they tell you, oh, you have the choice. What? This is absolutely not true, because in most parts of Florida, you can't buy a house which is less than 10 years old, which is not part of any kind of association. So you don't have a choice. So you can either move into the swamp with the alligators, or you can move into an association. So take your pick.
So tell us a little bit. Give us the location, and how can people find out more about the conference if they want to attend?
Well, if they want to attend, the very best way to find out all about the agenda, the people who speak, the exact locations with maps and directions, they best go to our website, which is www.ccfj.net. C like Caesar, C like Caesar, Fred, and Joe. You find all the information there. Friday evening there will be a panel discussion in Fort Lauderdale, close to the Gold Mile. So it's very close to a lot of problems we see in condos. And Saturday afternoon it will be in Century Village East, which is in Deerfield Beach. The location is the clubhouse of the community. It's a huge theater. We have 1,600 seats, so nobody has to be afraid that they don't get a seat. And
wow.
More or less directly next to the I-95, so it is very easy to reach and very easy to find. The only thing everybody has to take care of, there is a guard, it's a gated community, so bring your printed out invitation to show the guard that you're going to this conference. That is the important part.
Thank you, Jan. I know that you're busy. I know that you're working hard on this. I'm looking forward to being there next week. And I hope you'll come back after the conference. Tell us how it went and what lessons you learned, and just give us a rundown of what happened.
I sure will.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to seeing you next Friday.
Oh, I'm looking forward to coming down to the warmth and the sunshine and just having a blast.
Yeah, and I can assure you, no hurricanes in the moment.
Oh, that will be good. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You
bye.
Too. Bye.
We're on the Commons, and on the Commons with me right now is Frank Short, and we're going to be talking about the difference between what happens when you have a state like Florida and an organization like the Cyber Citizens for Justice, whereby they actually get involved and do some lobbying and make sure that they have proper, real legislation that's going to protect the homeowners, versus what we do here in Virginia, which is allow the Community Associations Institute to write the bills. And we're going to be talking about some of the bills that the Virginia General Assembly is going to be considering this year. Frank, doesn't look very good for Virginia homeowners this year, does it?
No, it's looking very questionable right now, Sue, but fortunately, there are ways like this show to get the word out, and that's what we'll do here for the rest of the hour.
What exactly is going on? What are the bills? Can we talk a little bit about those, Frank?
We sure can, but before we get into the bills, we ought to talk about a website that's available to the citizens of Virginia where you can find the text of a bill. You can comment on the bill in a public forum. You can vote in a poll on whether you think the bill in its proper current form should be passed. And that website is www.richmondsunlight.com. Richmondsunlight.com. And the bills that we'll be talking about, you can read all of them at either the official Virginia legislature website or on richmondsunlight.com. But you can have immediate feedback on the letter website. The first two that we'll talk about are companion bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, with exactly the same language in each bill. On the Senate side, introduced by Senator Mary Margaret Whipple, Senate Bill 301. And its House counterpart is House Bill 516, introduced by Delegate Terry Suit. Now, Senate Bill 301 is currently before the Senate Committee on General Laws and Technology. It had its first hearing before that committee last Wednesday, and we found out about it shortly before that hearing. Shu and I and others weighed in with the senators on the committee, and again, it's the Senate Committee on General Laws and Technology, and we were fortunate enough to have Senator Chet Peterson put a hold on that bill. It will come up again, we believe, Wednesday of next week. And you can send emails to Senator Peterson and the other members of that Committee on General Laws and Technology. There's direct links to all of their websites on the official Virginia Legislature page. You go to the click on the Committee for General Laws and Technology of the Senate, and all the members of that committee can be contacted at their official email addresses just by clicking on their name, and you can send a letter, an email to every one of them registering your views on Senate Bill 301.
I do want to give a big plug to Senator Chet Peterson at this point, because he was willing to listen. I sat down and called every one of the senators on the committee, and he called me back, which was nice, and he wanted to know what my concern was, and he hasn't said that he's going to vote against it or pull it permanently or do anything. He just said that he's going to give them a week. Give us a week, basically, to educate the committee and educate him on why we think it's such a bad bill. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about why it is such a bad bill today, right, Frank, and what it does and what it doesn't
do. Yes, we will. And we'll start with the purpose of the bill. And, again, this is both Senate Bill 301 and, on the House side, House Bill 516. The purpose of the bill is in provision 54.1-2354J, which reads, "This statute is intended to be remedial. Its purpose is to protect the interests of associations adversely affected by common interest community managers who have breached their fiduciary duty." This is a bill that apparently the CAI folks drafted in the wake of the Coger Management Company, what can only be described as a debacle.
Let's give the listeners who may not know just a 30-second account of what the Coger Management debacle was.
Coger Management Company was one of the biggest community association management companies in Northern Virginia. They were and had been for a very long time affiliated with the Community Association Institute, and they managed hundreds of associations. According to press accounts in the Washington Post and local newspapers, at least $2.2 million was embezzled from the treasuries of various community associations by employees, or an employee or employees of Coger Management. And we're now looking at investigations by law enforcement agencies up to and including the FBI, the IRS, the Fairfax County Police. The Virginia Real Estate Board is investigating. And as Shu and I pointed out before on the show, the only reason that we were able to get an investigation opened up on these characters was that Coger the senior had a real estate license, and that made him subject to the jurisdiction of the real estate board, which really opened this thing up. But when you look at the purpose of this bill, which is a pretty sweeping revision of the Virginia Property Owners Association Act, the first thing wrong with it is in the purpose. The purpose is to protect associations adversely affected by managers. And what the purpose needs to be, I submit, and this ties into what you just heard from Jan, we need to protect homeowners. And we need to protect homeowners not only from managers, but from boards of directors.
And also from, and also from this commission, basically.
Yes.
This commission, you know, has sweeping powers over, including homeowners.
Yeah. And the title of this bill is Common Interest Community Board Established. So we'll move next to who's on this Common Interest Community Board, and you'll find that in 54.1-2348. There will be 9 people on this board, and according to the statute, 3 shall be representatives of Virginia Common Interest Community Managers.
So the foxes manage is watching the hen house.
Well, shoo. You're just too skeptical.
Yeah.
1 shall be a Virginia attorney whose practice includes representation of associations.
Association.
No kidding. Not homeowners, you, but associations.
It's all about
associations. 1 shall be a representative of a Virginia certified public accountant whose practice includes providing attest services to associations. 1 shall be a representative of the Virginia timeshare industry, and 3 shall be Virginia citizens, one of whom serves or has served on the governing board of an association, or who resides or has resided in a common interest community.
That means you and me.
Yes.
We can get on that board, Frank, right?
Shu, I somehow suspect that you and I
are not the type of people they want on that board, are they? Are we?
But when you look at who's on the board, Shu, not a single one of them is required to live in a community association. Not one of them. One of them must have either resided in or reside. So one of them
must have lived there
at one time before he moved out, you know, to live. Or we heard this from Jan. The CAIers don't live in these places.
Well, every time I interview a CAIer, I always ask them, do you live in an association? And I think I may have had one or two who said yes.
Yeah, well, see.
And
they're going to, they're basically going to, control this board. Only 3 of these people even have to be citizens of Virginia.
You know. I didn't even catch that one. Three of them have to be citizens of Virginia,
Sue. Only three. So we could have good old our pal John Corona from Dallas.
Sit on this committee.
Yeah, he could be the outside expert. We could have some CAI Maryland chapter president, but you know they will obviously control this thing, and that was the intent, and that's why it's so clear that you know this thing was drafted by CAI, and we'll get to how it got to. How it got introduced in the House and by whom and what the CAI connection there is in a minute. The board, the statute says, shall meet at least 4 times each year.
Four times.
Okay. You see. And 4 of the members of the board shall constitute a quorum. That means that they might not have a Virginia citizen even present at a valid meeting, much less a Virginia citizen who, God forbid, you know, is a resident of a homeowners association.
So let me get this straight, Frank. You've got 9 people on this board, and only 4 of them can meet and conduct business. And presumably any vote would require a majority, so three people, a third of the board, can make these humongous sweeping decisions?
Oh, yes.
That's it?
That's it. That's it.
Okay.
Four members shall constitute a quorum. You know what it doesn't say, Sue? It doesn't say whether they've even got to meet in public. It doesn't say whether there's got to be any notice of their meetings.
No, it doesn't. You know, I don't think there has to be. I mean, they can do all this stuff by stealth.
Well, yes, and specifically with regard to their investigations that we'll discuss in a minute. They can do their investigations, Sue, in private, you see.
We don't need any sunlight.
Right. So, well, you know, what powers are they going to have, Sue? What will they be empowered to do? I mean, maybe they can't do anything that would really hurt homeowners, so why should we care? Well, they can promulgate regulations necessary to carry out the requirements of this chapter.
What are the requirements of this chapter?
Well, you know, that's
the purpose
is to
protect associations.
Yeah, that's a real good question. What are the requirements of the chapter? Because we start with licensing of managers and the qualifications for licensure, and then we get into the authority of the board to investigate. And there's a provision: general powers and duties of the board concerning associations. Mm-hmm. They just kind of slipped that in there. It's got nothing to do really with the purpose of the statute as stated in the statute. But 54.1-2351, general powers and duties of the board concerning associations. The board may adopt, amend, and repeal rules and regulations and issue orders consistent with and in furtherance of the objectives of this chapter. So they can, in effect, you legislate.
Oh, is that what that means, Frank?
Three of them.
Three people.
We've got four is a quorum.
And they don't have to live in Virginia.
They don't have to live in Virginia.
And so three of them.
They don't have to meet in public. And they can adopt, amend, and repeal rules and regulations and issue orders consistent with and in furtherance of the objectives of this chapter. These are the general powers and duties of the board concerning associations, not concerning managers. If it appears that any person, not any manager, Sue, any person has engaged, is engaging in, or is about to engage in any act or practice in violation of this chapter, lists a whole bunch of other chapters, or any of the board's regulations and orders, the board, without prior administrative proceedings, may bring suit in the appropriate court to enjoin that act or practice or for other appropriate relief. The board is not required to post a bond or to prove that no adequate remedy at law exists. Interesting. The board may intervene in any action or suit involving the powers or responsibilities of a declarant or the governing board of an association in connection with any association which is required to file an annual report with the board. That means, Shu, that if you and I are in litigation with our association because it's not turning over governing documents to us as required by the POA and as required by our bylaws, this CAI-controlled board could intervene in that lawsuit
on behalf of the association
against us, drive up the cost of litigation, and have it funded and financed by the taxpayers of Virginia.
Actually, interesting. And this is supposed to protect the association?
Oh, no, Sue. Remember, this is supposed to protect the association against the managers.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with protecting homeowners against anybody.
Okay.
And I don't think that's an inadvertent omission. But we're not done yet, Sue.
I think that's a very important point, Frank, and that needs to be put on the skyline somehow.
Well, the board may assess a civil penalty.
A civil penalty?
Yes, a civil penalty. To be paid to the Common Interest Community Information Fund of not more than $1,000 per violation against who, Sue? You would think it would be against a bad manager. given the stated intention of the bill, wouldn't you?
One would think.
Yes, but against any person who violates any provision of this section.
So that means they can fine you and me $1,000.
Well, I think they would read their powers rather broadly, Shu.
Oh, no. Not them.
No civil penalty may be assessed unless the person have been given the opportunity for a hearing pursuant to the Administrative Process Act. Well, isn't that comforting?
And what is the... Do we know what the what that act says? Have we...
All it says is a reference to the Administrative Process Act. Then the board has these investigative powers, and that's even more interesting, Shu. 54.1-2352, investigative powers of the board. The board may initiate public or private investigations within or outside the Commonwealth. I'd personally, this time of year, I'd like to be doing an investigation in Key West, too. But to determine whether any representation in any document or information filed with the board was false or misleading, or whether any person is about to engage in any unlawful act or practice. Sign me up for investigative jurisdiction like that.
Well, I thought you said that they wouldn't want us on the board.
No, they wouldn't, too. In the course of any investigation or hearing, the board may subpoena witnesses and documents, administer oaths and affirmations, and adduce evidence. If a person fails to comply with a subpoena or to answer questions propounded during the investigation or hearing, the board may apply to the appropriate court for contempt order or injunctive or other appropriate relief to secure compliance. Again, this is not limited to actions against bad managers or even bad boards.
It's just open.
Yes. If the board determines after notice and hearing that the governing board, this is the reference to the governing board of an association, has violated any statute or regulation governing the association regulated pursuant to this chapter.
And they haven't yet written the regulations. They get to write those anytime they want
yes.
to. So it's wide open.
Yeah,
right,
including now. Engaging in any act or practice in violation of this chapter and a bunch of other chapters, or any of the board's regulations or orders, or materially misrepresented facts in an application for registration or an annual report, or willfully refuse to furnish the board, that's the state board, information or records required or requested pursuant to statute or regulation, and it writes its own regulations, then this board may issue an order requiring the governing board of the association to cease and desist from the unlawful practice and to take such other affirmative relief as in the judgment of the agency will carry out the purposes of this chapter. And remember what the purposes of this chapter are, Shu. It's to protect the board from rogue
managers.
But you wouldn't know that by reading what's actually in the statute, you see.
WEBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and we're talking to Frank Short today. We're talking about legislation that is being considered by the Virginia General Assembly. None of it is good. None of it will protect the actual homeowners in Virginia. This is all done. It's a Dear Santa, I Want list from the industry to the General Assembly. And we're sort of looking into that in case anybody just joined us.
So keeping in mind, Shu, that all across the country, we find these CAI-affiliated management companies getting in trouble, stealing money, under investigation, in some cases on their way to jail. The solution is to make everybody get a CAI-type license, you see. Because if only, CAI had an absolute monopoly on this, then all managers would be good managers.
They already have one, and I think a lot of the people who have been indicted are CAI credentialed.
Just do an internet search, folks.
Yeah, put the number.
Do an internet search. there's one thing out there about who's going to be the next CAI perp walker, and it lists several of the more famous ones that are on the skyline right now. But I digress. This board would have the power to establish the criteria for credentialing community association managers, and every single manager in the Commonwealth of Virginia would be required to get credentials from this board. So what credentials are we talking about? What will qualify for credentials? Well, you see, criteria that the board was authorized to use may include experiential requirements and shall include designation as an accredited association management company by the Community Association Institute, you see, yes. The board shall establish criteria for the certification of employees of the common interest community manager who participate directly in the provision of management services to a common interest community in order to ensure that the person possesses the character and minimum skills to engage properly in the provision of management services. Now, you know, Sue, we had a big thing with Cogra Management when they wanted to rewrite the contract, and one of the things they wanted was take out the requirement that our association had put into the contract that they not employ convicted felons.
That's right.
They wanted no part of that requirement. They wanted that
That's
out of
right.
there.
You know what? I had forgotten about that, Frank,
yes.
But you're absolutely right. Cogra did manage the association that Frank and I lived in, so we sort of are quite familiar with them, aren't we?
Yes. Such criteria, and these are the criteria for the employees of the management company, shall include designation as a certified manager of community associations by the National Board of Certification of the Community Association Managers, designation as an association management specialist by the Community Association Institute, or designation as a professional community association manager by the Community Association Institute. That's a PCAM as opposed to a CCAM or DCAM, Shu.
That's right.
So if you got one of those, folks, why, you're in.
You're okay.
Yeah, you're okay. And if you don't have one of those and you want to do this, then just sign up with CAI and get that ticket punched and pay your money and take your correspondence course. And then...
And see, they're going to oversee the whole thing. So, you know, from start to finish.
Yes.
Soup to nuts.
Yes.
Or nuts to soup or whatever.
So they're going to approve the criteria for accredited common interest community manager training programs. Specific authority in the statute. And they will approve accredited common interest community manager training programs, making it thereby a CAI monopoly in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Frank, they already have it. I mean, they control the Management Information Fund. They're in there with the Real Estate Board. They're in there with the legislature. They're in there with everything. They have been writing everything. And that's why things go from bad to worse all the time. They go from bad to worse not for the industry, obviously, but for you guys, the homeowners out there. And if you live in Northern Virginia, chances are you are subject to a lot of the nonsense that we're talking about here.
Well, speaking of nonsense, Shu, we talked about the Richmond Sunlight and what the Richmond Sunlight would enable you to do. And I want to go back to that website and tell you one other service that you can connect to directly from the Richmond Sunlight homepage. You can click on any member of the Virginia Legislature, House or Senate, and pull up a page on that individual. On that page, you will be able to click on a link to something called VPAP. VPAP. And that link will take you to the political contributions and the contributors in great detail. of that political, of that particular legislator.
That is indeed a good service.
I thought it was.
That shows you talked about their bread is budget, right?
Yes, and we talked about how Senate Bill 301 has its House counterpart, House Bill 516.
Mm-hmm.
On the House side, it was introduced by Delegate Terry Suits. Ms. Suits' political contributions, according to VPAP, include $7,000 from the Virginia Association of Community Managers. Now, the Virginia Association of Community Managers has its own webpage. You can just look that up on Google and you'll find out the Virginia Association of Community Managers is a trade association within a trade association. They are all CAI members.
Yeah. You don't like CAI? Okay, why don't you join this group? Right?
Well, you got to be in CAI, apparently, to be in the Virginia Association of Community Managers. It's a sub-association or a spin-off association within CAI Virginia. And they're composed, not surprisingly, of community managers, but right on their webpage, you can find out who their associate members are.
Ah.
And their associate members are all the CAI law firms in Virginia.
Oh.
So this entity, the Virginia Association of Community Managers, contributed $7,000 to Terry Suit.
Wow.
$5,000 was contributed by the Great Eastern Property Management Company. $1,500 was contributed by the Princess Anne Property Management Company. And $1,250 was contributed by an individual identified as Pierre Trigiani, who just happens to be a CAI-affiliated lawyer from Northern Virginia who is a member of CAI's Legislative Action Committee.
And probably the person who wrote this bill.
Quite possibly, Shu. And we've talked in the past about that CAI Legislative Action Committee. If you'd like to track those guys down, do a Google search with the terms VALAC, as in Virginia LAC, VALAC, and your other term will be LACPAC, LACPACK, two different words. And you will pull up their page where these are their own words. This is from their own webpage. VA LAC is like a pack of wolves. And Shu and I did a show on this website before, and they've made it a little tougher to get to, but they didn't hide it as well as I guess they thought they were hiding it.
Can't hide anything from you, Frank.
Yeah.
You'll find it.
Yeah. A lone wolf, they say, and this is a page that's intended to recruit other members of their LAC pack. A lone wolf often goes hungry, but the real wolf pack, ever watchful, opportunistic, and loyal, is much more effective as a team. The lone wolf often goes hungry. So we asked ourselves before, and we will ask musically again, what are they hungry for?
Ah, who knows? Anybody out there?
They're hungry for money and property managers and management companies. There's only one place they get their money, Shu, from the homeowners.
You know, Frank, the homeowners fund everything and they don't realize it. They don't understand just how much money is being siphoned right out of their pockets.
Yes. So anyway, we've got this bill introduced by Delegate Terry Suit, and on the Senate side, it's Senate Bill 301, introduced by Senator Mary Margaret Whipple. And on the Senate side, it's going, we believe, next Wednesday before the Senate Committee on General Laws and Technology. And on the official website of the Virginia Legislature, you'll be able to connect to all the members of that committee and contact them regarding your views of Senate Bill 301. You'll also on richmondsunlight.com be able to participate in a poll about the merits of this bill and whether you think the bill ought to be passed as drafted, and you'll be able to enter comments. What we've got here are the comments that, as of last night, had been entered about Senate Bill 301. And one other service that Richmond Sunlight provides for you, it tells you where this bill ranks in the number of comments, how, you know, where it ranks in terms of how many people have looked at it and how many people have commented on it. And as of last night, this bill, Senate Bill 301, stood number two of all of the legislative proposals before the Virginia legislature. This, only one bill had drawn more comments than Senate Bill 301.
And is that the...
No. I mean, in an era where we got bills about, you know, cockfighting and dogfighting and balls hanging from pickup trucks. And with all that's going on with Virginia Tech and gun control and everything else, you know, this bill ranks number two.
Number two.
So hopefully folks will pay attention to that. Let me just read a couple of these. This one says, I was the victim of a CAI, Community Association Institute affiliated management company in Fairfax County. Do a Google search on, quote, Cogar Management, unquote, and you can read about the theft of millions of dollars. Notice that I didn't say that my association was the victim. As a homeowner, I pay the association's bills. Ms. Suit's bill would appoint the Fox in the form of CAI-affiliated HOA managers and lawyers. They're all in the same trade association to manage the hen house. Why? Well, Ms. Suit's political contributions, and then they go down the contributions we just discussed. I wonder whether Ms. Suit has any actual homeowners in her district. You see, under her proposal, not a single member of her nine-member, quote, community interest or common interest community board, unquote, would even be required to actually live in a, quote, common interest community, unquote. This bill is CAI's attempt at damage control after the Cogar debacle. CAI has resisted any type of government oversight of HOAs for years, and now, with homeowners waving pitchforks, they're ready to actually accept oversight as long as they're in charge of it.
I don't see too many pitchforks out there, Frank. There ought to be a whole lot more than there are.
Well, you know, when we talk to folks who are in the legislature, they've told us they get calls constantly on this issue, and I think there certainly has been enough in the press up here in the wake of Cogar that people are really getting irritated.
Frank, there are a couple of things that I want to jump in here. I got an email from someone who said the bill overall is not really great, but there are a couple of points that merit support. And he cited the ombudsman and the community board. I just want to point out here, Frank, for anybody who decides to look at this, bill and say, oh, well, you know, they're going to protect us. First of all, the board is just stuffed with CAI. They're not going to protect the homeowners. Don't even fall for that. In states where we do, where they have used boards that are stuffed with CAI, you know, things have gone from bad to worse. I'm going to tell you about point out that Montgomery County's had the Office of Common Ownership Commission for a long time, and homeowners get hosed there every time they go there. Nevada has gone to a panel, and everybody on that panel is CAI, so there's not going to be that that separation. You've got CAI overlooking CAI overlooking CAI. Here, the homeowner is the enemy. And if you thought the balance of power was bad enough for a homeowner in an association, it's going to get worse. So don't even think, oh, well, there's going to be this community board and that's going to be good. Forget it. In terms of the ombudsman, they've had ombudsmen across the country. They have not worked. They do not work. The minute you get someone who's on the homeowner's side, CAI goes whining in there, and they get pulled. The ombudsman's not going to work. You don't need to pay extra for an ombudsman. You do pay enough taxes that the attorney general or somebody in the real government start handling this stuff. Do you agree, Frank?
I do agree. some of the powers that are given in this bill would be very appropriate powers if they were exercised by, a number one, a standing agency of the state, not a board that meets four times a year,
right.
but a standing agency, independent of CAI,
right.
the focus of which would be consumer protection for the benefit of homeowners.
Right.
For the benefit of the homeowners. And whether you put that in the Attorney General's office, or the State Corporation Commission, or the Real Estate Board, is not as important as that it's a standing office, that it is an office that will receive complaints from any homeowner in the Commonwealth of Virginia about any homeowners association that violates the Property Owners Association Act or the governing documents of that association, and that will then have the power to do something about it, to grant the homeowner real relief, not to tell them go hire a lawyer.
That's what they do now.
Yeah.
If you go to the, any consumer office, whether it's county or state, you're going to be told that you're not the consumer, the association's the consumer, and that's got to stop because, folks, it's not the association that's paying their taxes to, you know, to man these offices. It's you, the homeowner, the housing consumer.
And that scares CAI to death. I mean, we've talked for years that this was coming, that this exact situation was coming, and that when it came and when they saw that some type of state control was probably going to be inevitable, they tried to get out in front of it and take it over. And that's what they're doing in House Bill 516 and Senate Bill 301.
That's right. And, yeah. I agree. And also, before we go on, I just want to point out Terry Suit is on the Housing Commission. She also works for developers or insurance salesmen, or somehow she's in the industry. And she's done a lot of talking, but she's never really done anything for the homeowners in the past. And I think that really needs to stop. I mean, people need to understand that she really is not on the homeowner's side at all.
Well, she's got another fine piece of work besides House Bill 516 shoe, and that's House Bill 1076. And that may be something that they're trying to slip in under the radar. House Bill 1076 is about Property Owners Association disclosure packets. Disclosure packet is something that if you are buying a home in a property owners association,
right.
you're entitled to get a report about that association that includes lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the things required to be in that report are derived from hitting print on a computer in the association
right.
office. They're boilerplate.
Right.
The governing documents, the bylaws, the covenants, the last set of meetings from the board of directors, the last annual report, they're all there. One or two things may be specific to the property you're going to buy, whether they're on notice of any violation about that particular lot or not. But this is not any Herculean work to put that together for you. Management companies have tried to use these disclosure packets as a cash cow. They have tried over and above
right.
what's in their management contract, where they're already paid to handle disclosure packet requirements. And they have tried, and Koger tried, and we caught them at it
mm-hmm.
in our association, to then independently bill the buyer or the seller. And when Koger was doing it without any authorization or even the knowledge of the board of directors, they were calling it a transfer fee. Delegate Suits, House Bill 1076 says, oh, ain't going to be no transfer fees. Well,
That's good.
But she turns around and gives management companies the same thing. She turns around and gives them a cash cow in the form of a $350, up to $350. And it doesn't say anything about, you know, depending on the actual cost, or they have to be able to establish that this is the actual cost of producing this thing. But they, according to this bill, would collect that directly from the seller. Directly from the seller. That's because the Homeowners Association, you see, has jurisdiction over the seller. Now, I'm supposed to pay under this bill, you know, $350 directly to the Acme Management Company. And I run into a guy who, a prospective buyer, who comes to me and he says, well, you know, under the statute, I got 3 days after I look at these governing documents to cancel the contract without prejudice.
Right.
I'm canceling it.
Right.
I would rather live under the Taliban than live under you guys.
Right.
You got kangaroo courts, you're fining people, you got roving tow trucks all over the place, you had Cogar Management, we don't know how much of your money he walked away with, you're on shaky financial ground. I'm not buying this stuff. Goodbye. Well, you see, under this statute, I'm still obligated for my $350 to the management company.
Right.
And if I don't pay it, Shu, then under this statute, what happens?
Management company can foreclose to collect that.
Non-judicially,
right?
Without ever going before a court. And so, you see, how does that really incentivize the management company to protect my property values? Because management company probably like as many of these people to look at the governing documents and say, thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. And get $350 a crack.
Right. But they, you know, they're, yeah.
But this is what we get from Delegate Terry Suit, consumer protection advocate extraordinaire, with her thousands of dollars of contributions and political payoffs from the industry, as they say.
Frank, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, to all of you out there in Virginia, if you're listening, please contact your legislators. Tell them no. And if you are a constituent of Senator Chap Peterson, send him an email saying, thank you, Chap. We love you.
Remember, RichmondSunlight.com, folks, is where you go to take a close look at these and to comment on them.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for
tuning in. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. We'll see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos.